Galaxy Audio presents The Dive Bomber by L. Ron Hubbard. Chapter 1. Once the Tops.
Look here, Mr. O'Neill. I can't let you kill yourself with that ship.
Lucky Martin said it earnestly and loyally. And as he always did, he meant just exactly what he said. And as number one test pilot in the United States, Lucky Martin's opinions on the subject of ships was not commonly thrust aside. But the instant he uttered those words, he knew that he could have said nothing worse. No profanity could have goaded O'Neill into the rage which swelled him out to the red bursting point.
"So you too!"
roared Big Tom O'Neill.
"And I thought you were my friend. I know now. You've been talking about it. You're the one that started it. Who the hell built this ship anyway?"
"You did,"
said Lucky Martin in despair.
"Who tested the first bomber the Navy ever bought?"
"You did,"
gulped Lucky Martin.
"Of course I did. But you and all the others are yammering about how old I'm getting. I'm 46, see? 46 isn't old. I've got my transport, haven't I? I passed the last department physical, didn't I? And I'm the oldest test pilot in the business, ain't I? And who owns O'Neill Aircraft Company? I ask you that."
"You do,"
said Lucky very miserably.
"There. You admit I'm competent to test my own ship before these people."
"Sure, but..."
"But what, you whelp?"
Lucky sent an appealing glance to Dixie O'Neill, and she needed no urging to intercede. Dixie, knowing that one of these two men would have to test the ship, and loving them equally, she threw her strength on the side of the one who might be expected to come out best, Lucky Martin.
"Dad, you're too old for grandstanding. You ought to know better. Nobody questions your ability. Lucky is here to do this work, and you know what they said about your heart? Don't try the gravity test, please, Dad. You know that's how men get killed. They go out like..."
Big, blustering, ungainly Tom O'Neill, renowned for a stubborn disposition, took this as a new affront. Seeing that Lucky and Dixie had united forces, instead of bowing gracefully, he let his anger get away from him entirely. He blasted them with a voice three times louder than a cyclone in a dive. He told them they were impertinent, that they were hardly dry behind the ears, that their opinions carried less weight than a duralumin girder, and that their skulls were filled with the purest of ozone. He was very unjust. Lucky Martin had not come by his own reputation without ample merit, and as everybody knew the length and breadth of the Atlantic seaboard, Dixie O'Neill was as bright as she was beautiful, which savored of hyperbole. Stung by the fact that he was getting old, and that he was no longer considered the best in the business, Tom O'Neill forgot that his prominence was at present wholly based on his ownership of this big plant, and upon his cunning in designing a fighting ships for the Army and Navy. Through the office door, they could all see the restless crowd, which stood on the edge of the field, a crowd which waited in the full expectancy of seeing a man die that day. Tom O'Neill settled the argument by picking up his helmet and goggles and, glaring at his daughter and his future son-in-law, stalked out toward the waiting dive bomber. Commander Lawson stopped him for an instant and shook his hand.
"Hope it goes all right, Tom. Lucky off his feed?"
"Damn Lucky. He says I'm getting too old."
"But out of respect for Dixie..."
"Damn Dixie!"
Scandalized, the kind-faced, portly naval officer blinked his sea-faded eyes at the aircraft ahead and went two-thirds speed astern and out of the slipstream, which was beginning to blast back from the prop. Lucky Martin, looking down in spirit and rather hopeless, loafed out of the office, hands in his pockets, helmet buckle dangling beside his square jaw. He was 6 feet tall, but his shoulders were so broad that he looked to be of average height, until he walked through and towered over a crowd. The only thing which marred his looks was a scar running from his chin to his ear, put there by a shed wing which had almost torn his head off before he could get out of the plummeting fuselage. The scar marred his beauty, but infinitely increased the glamour which hung about him. His was a profession in which men are often killed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?